Good morning, guys. Thank you so much for being here. If this is your first time, thanks for hanging out with us. We really appreciate it. So we are in the middle of our core series. And so if you've missed any of our series, I'll give you a quick brief summary. So at Village Heights, we're talking about what makes us who we are. Like, why do we do the things that we do? And it has a lot to do with our core values. And just like the center of the earth has to be burning white hot for us to have life here on earth, it's the same thing with Village Heights. For us to have life here at Village Heights and be abundant and function in a great way and a great, be efficient with that and highest capacity, our core values have to be burning white hot. It's got to be the hottest thing about us because it's in those core values where life happens. And the earth, because it's burning so hot and in the center, we get to live life. So for you to continue to binge watch The Office every week, it has to have the really hot core of the earth. For you to enjoy that donut that you love so much, the center of the earth has to be burning white hot. For you to go to your favorite coffee spot or have romantic moments for the ones that you love, the center of the earth has to be burning white hot. Just the same for us. And so because of that, the earth is very generous. We have, God created where we have an abundance of greenery. We have an abundance of animals to enjoy, an abundance of things to enjoy here on earth. If you don't think the earth is abundant, go create a flower bed, pull all the weeds out. They'll be right back the next week, okay? Because the earth is just so generous with all the weeds. The earth is very, very generous with us. And so we're talking about the core of our church, and the first week talked about Christ-centered, and if you missed that, we have all of these online. It's Christ-centered, and that's what we start with, and you let me nerd out. It was great. I nerded out about the earth and how hot it is at the center, and I know it's all made with. It was a lot of fun. You didn't fall asleep on me. I really appreciate it. And then last week, Hannah talked about community crafted, that core value of ours, but today, I'm going to talk about the most challenging core value we have, by far. It's that core value that truly sets us apart, that gets people's attention. And that core value is to be audaciously generous. This is where, in our church, where life interaction happens, outside of the walls of this church. This is where we get people's attention, and they begin to take notice because of this core value. And this core value, just as the others, has got to be burning white hot. It's got to be the most white hot thing about us, just like the others, for us to make an effect. Where the rubber meets the road, where church begins to change lives. And you probably think, because I said generosity, you think I'm just going to talk about money. It goes much, much further than that. It goes beyond just money. So, we're going to jump in talking about it, starting with Paul. So Paul was apostle of Christ. He was a follower of Christ, and he was essentially a church planter. That's what we would have called him today. So I'm, you know, in relation to church family with Paul the apostle. Isn't that nice? So he would go to new areas, talk about Christ, and start bodies of believers. And he would say, okay, get things going. He'd get them a board and, you know, branding and a website, you know, and all these things and get all the gears working for them to get them online giving, all that stuff. Get it going for them. And so he would start these things. And so for the first one, one of the churches that he was a part of was in Corinth. And we learn a lot from this church in Corinth because it's not far off from the way we are now. There was greed, selfishness, there was some debauchery, there was some mixed up, you know, theology, not too far off from where we're at, right? You know, kind of where we are in this day and age. So we can learn a lot from this church. So Paul spent about 2 years with these people. So he got all these things in motion. He's like, all right, guys, you look like you're doing great. I'm going to move on now, okay? I think y'all can handle it. The board is in action. They're meeting regularly. You got your leaders in place. I'm going to head out, right? And so he heads out, and the next places he goes to is Ephesus and Macedonia. And he gets word back that Village Corinth, see what I did there? Village Corinth, okay. He gets back that Village Corinth, they're not keeping it together. Like what he left, it was beginning to change. And he realized, I got to give them some more leadership. But he couldn't return because he was already on the next thing. And so what he did is he sent letters. And this is how we ended up with 1 and 2 Corinthians. So this was letters to that church to help them get back on the right track. And it's something that we get to enjoy today. We get to look at these letters and evaluate our church. You know, are we in line with what church is supposed to be? So what we're going to focus in on here is Paul tells the church about the difference between giving and being generous. There is a difference between giving and being generous. So in 2 Corinthians 8:7, it says this. Since you excel in so many ways, see, he was very affirming in this. He was like, guys, this is going to be hard for you, but I'm going to tell you first at what you're good at, okay? This is the sandwich effect, if you're ever having to bring some hard news to somebody. Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in the gracious act of giving. I want you to excel in the gracious act of giving. If he's telling them, I need you to excel, that means it's not happening. They don't know what that is. And when he's telling them to excel, that means to go above and beyond. He's like, I don't want you guys to just give. I want you to excel at it. I want you to go further. When your boss at work comes to you and says, I need you to excel in this area, they're saying basically, I want you to do more. I need you to take it further. When the coach comes to you and says, I need you to excel in running, you better move those feet faster because he wants you to go do more. Kind of the same way here with Paul. He wants them to do more, get after it in a bigger way. So we're like, great, Paul, that's awesome. But what does it look like to be giving above and beyond? What does that even look like, and why is it so important? So for us, that was what he was saying to them. For us, we believe this translates to our gathering as being brazenly generous with our time, our talents, and our treasure. See, it's more than about just money itself. It's about time, talents, and treasures. So what does that look like to give in that way above and beyond? So we'll break them down. We're going to talk about time first, okay? So in looking at time, if we're going to be audaciously generous in our time, first we got to figure out, where am I spending my time? And that's a hard question to ask, right? Some of us don't want to admit that we've been binge-watched, again, The Office, like me. I'm very guilty of that. I love the show, but sometimes I have to cut myself off. So my phone, this is one of the things. I love Apple, and I don't know if other phones do this. Android, I mean, if there's something beyond Android and Apple, I have no idea, okay? So you're on the fringe to me. I have no clue what you have. But I don't know if your phones do this, but I know that Apple does this. And when they released it, I was like, oh, that's really cool. Until I had it. So your phone, if you have an Apple, what it does is it evaluates all the time that you've spent on your apps on your phone for that week, and then it tells you what you spent most of your time on. And I was like, man, this is going to be great. It's going to tell me how much I read my Bible and how well I've done with that. Guys, I'm not even going to tell you the results. It's embarrassing. I'm ashamed of the results from my phone of where I spend my most time. Where are you spending your time? So, in three ways, we're going to look at this. First, are you spending your time with God? Is it more than just a quick conversation? Like, I'm all about praying over your food and saying a quick prayer for the people at your work and stuff like that, but are you truly carving time out of your day to sit down and say, God, I'm either going to pray or I'm just going to sit here in your presence. This time is yours, God, whatever you want to do with it. And there's lots of cool apps out there that you can use. One's called Abide. That's one that we use, and it helps you meditate over time. But are you actually carving out time? Because the creator of the universe wants a running relationship with us. God created humans to fellowship with him. And here's the coolest thing about this. You can fulfill exactly what you were created to do. Your purpose can be fulfilled by just spending time with God. Are you doing that? Because the more time we spend with our Creator, The more we know him, the more we know him, the more we act like him. And the more we act like him, the more our purpose is fulfilled. So are you spending time with God? The next thing is, are you spending time on the relationships that matter? I know we all have relationships and we spend it in different ways, whether it's a digital relationship or a physical relationship or a work relationship. We all have these relationships in our lives. If you're a human, you've got one. But are you spending it with the right ones? If you are you pressing pause? Are you taking the moments? If you are married, are you making sure that you take time to spend with your spouse? Are you turning the laptop off? Are you turning the TV off? Are you making sure that you are allotting, just like you allotted time with God, that no other distractions, are you making sure, because that person that you made a covenant with that's important more than anything else in your life, you know, richer for poorer, all those things, are you making time with them? Or are they just another roommate in your house? Do you just happen to end up in the bed next to them at night? Make time for them. Are you making time for what, the relationships that matter? Are you spending quality time with them? For those of you who are single, are you spending time with those who lift you up, encourage you? It's real easy to hang out with the naysayers because it feeds the selfish part of ourselves. That's like, man, yeah, that's right. They did this to me. They did that to you. And man, they're jerks. It feeds that selfishness. So it's real easy to end up in a group like that. But are you making sure that you're around people that are pouring back into you, who are lifting you up? People that can mentor you, that can help train you. If you're wanting to make this goal, why don't you find someone that's made that goal before and let them help encourage you to meet whatever that is? Do each of us dedicate too much time to the squeaky wheels in our lives that are weighing us down? Squeaky wheels always the loudest and it always gets the oil. But you got to pay attention to the other wheels in your life. Because if all you deal with is squeaky, you'll become squeaky. You got to make time for those people that really care about you. The people that don't have all the problems, but man, they want to pour into and love you. Make time for those relationships. The next one is, are you spending time investing in the gathering, meaning this gathering? If you are a believer, are you making time for church? Thankfully, you guys did. Thank you for being here. But are you making it a point in your life that is something regularly that you do? Do you regularly press pause to commune with other believers? Are you taking time to draw near to God and encourage those to do the same? In Hebrews, it tells us to not neglect meeting together. Meaning, guys, it's important. It's important to meet together. Christ built the church so that we could be a part of it together. Because when you go out there, you can feel crazy. If you're in the land of unbelievers and you're the only believer, you can feel crazy. That's why you should come together with other crazy people and agree that you're all crazy together. It's a lot easier to be crazy in a group than to be crazy alone. That way they can be with you, encourage you. So when you hit those down times, they can lift you up and say, you're not crazy. I dealt with the same thing just the other week. You encourage each other. Then other people see that, and then they want to be a part of that. Like, man, you guys love each other, actually really love each other. Even though you all got problems, you love each other. I want to be a part of that. If you're going to practice living generously, are you spending your time on the things that truly matter? So evaluate your time. The next one is talent. How are you using your talents? One of the talents that God has given me is I'm able to get up here and talk and not make a complete fool of myself. And I can say jokes and it's engaging and it's a lot of fun. So this is what I used. When I speak, this is what I use. I put all my notes in here. So when I had this made, I had it printed right here on the outside. It's solus deus. And that is Latin, solus meaning alone, deus meaning God. And so every time before I speak, before I have the opportunity to go talk at a funeral, talk at a wedding, get up here on stage, talk at another church, a small group, whatever it is, I'm reminded, what am I doing this for? Is it for me or is it for God alone? Because if I get up here and I'm just self-serving me, that leads to trouble. That's pride. Pride becomes for the fall, all those things. But I constantly remind myself that the gifts that God has given me is for God alone. It's great that y'all get something out of it. I'm glad you're here, and if you do, awesome, you know, but all this is for God alone. Some of you are very talented at your jobs in the marketplace, but are you working for solas Deus, only God? Some of you have talents we can use at church, but are you serving solas Deus? Some of you are crafty, while others are deep thinkers. Some of you are athletes, while other you are not. I'm just kidding. You're artists. Some of you are great with our words, while others are more thoughtful. Our gifts are all different. All different. But here's the cool thing. It can all be used for the same purpose. Everything, all the gifts that we have, vastly different, all used in solas Deus, for God alone. All fulfill the same purpose, all towards the same goal. Johann Sebastian, we all should know that name. He has a lot of masterpieces that we've all enjoyed being able to listen to, music that's been amazing centuries, that's what I was looking for. And this is what he has quoted saying. Amazing guy, does great things. You would think that he'd be filled with pride. This is what he says. The aim and final end of music should be none other than the glory of God and the refreshment of the soul. Everything. You guys get to enjoy his music, but he truly didn't make it for you. He made it for the glory of God, for God alone. You get the benefit of it. Most talented minds, even he realized the masterpieces that he made were meant from God. Regardless of your talents, what your talents are, if you're living a generous life, you are using them for solas Deus. The last one is treasure. In the book of Luke, Jesus tells us that you can understand the great desire of someone's heart if you just follow their treasure. So if you're dating somebody and you're trying to figure them out, and, you know, or if you got a coworker, you're like trying to figure them out, you're like, I just don't know what they're about yet. Follow their money. Where do they spend their money? Because wherever that money goes, that's what they're about. Because that money is one of the most valuable things to us. Wherever they spend that, that's what they're about. So follow that. Jesus knew that money was important to the condition of our hearts so much that he 16 out of the 38 parables were about money and possessions. That is almost half of all his parables were about money and possessions. We should pay attention to that. One out of every 10 verses in the New Testament are about money and giving. One of every 10. It is the second greatest theme in the entire Bible. Let's pause right there and just kind of expound on this. Okay, so I want to expound on something that we call the tithe and offering. So in our culture here, if you grew up in church, you're very familiar. It's called tithe. It's called offering. It's kind of pretty much the same thing. It's just you're giving something. We put a stamp on it. We put a number, 10%. That's kind of and it's an Old Testament concept, and that's exactly right. It is. It is an Old Testament concept. But here's the thing about the 10%. It was the same then and the same now. There wasn't you didn't get a prize for hitting 10, okay? When you hit 10%, you didn't get the godly fuzzy bunny. You know, that's not what happened. It was God knew that they needed to give back because of their hearts, and so he set a number, 10%, the tithe, 10%. He set a number so that the rest of that 90% they could live off of. But if they would just keep in check with that 10%, that helped God know that their heart was in the right place. That was the first thing that they brought. God alone is first for God. Okay, so 10% thing, it's simply just a good number to shoot for, you know. And if that's what you want to practice, that's completely fine, but it's not a security blanket. Just because you hit 10% doesn't mean God's like, okay, all the generosity you have to do, you're done now, you know. No, not at all. It's just a good number for us to shoot for, a good practice to have. Actually, in the New Testament, if you want to come down and argue, like, oh, it says it's 10%, so I'm only sticking to 10%. Actually, if you want to look at the New Testament where Jesus talked, he said to give away everything. 10% is not looking so bad anymore, is it? He said to give away everything because the rich young ruler came to him and said, look, how much do I got to give basically to make God happy. He's trying to put a dollar amount on his value with God or God's value to him. And so Jesus' response was, give everything, because there's no amount of money that's going to hit the worth of God. It's not possible. So you can give away all the money on earth. You can gather it all and give it all away. It's never going to amount to God. So he knew that everything had to give away. Something the rich young ruler couldn't handle, so he scurried off. He's like, I'll stick to the 10%, and he ran away. There's nothing wrong with practicing the tithe. Absolutely not. Tithe and offering, you want to stick 10%, that's great for you. It's a good number to be at. That's why I say on Sundays that if you're never given, it's a new concept to you, just giving back to God, just to thank him for all that he's given you. That's why I say the percent doesn't matter. It starts somewhere. It's where the heart is. If 10% is like, I can't do 10%, it's like, start at 1%. Start at 0.5%. Start somewhere, because it's not about the dollar amount. It's about the heart. That's where it's found. So your tithe and offering is basically just a basic foundation of giving. It's the baby steps to something amazing. And so if we're going to excel in the act of giving, as Paul said, if we're going to be audaciously generous, we've got to mature beyond just tithe and offering. We got to mature beyond that. So when I say treasure, I mean something that hurts far more than tithe and offering. It's that number that, like, you're like, God, how much should I give? And you hear a number in your head, and you're like, oh, that must have been the devil, because that was way too high. That hurt way too much. That's treasure. God's calling you to something bigger. He's wanting to take you beyond just being giving. Audacious generosity. So after you get down just the basic concept of giving, the tithe and offering, whatever you want to call it, and we understand, you know, you've got a mortgage and a rent to pay, and of course we treasure our homes, so do it. Pay it. Make sure you're in your home. You've got utilities to pay, you know, I'm very treasuring of my electricity, my internet, you know, all those things, my water. I hope you treasure water that you shower before you get here. I really appreciate that. So we pay that. We pay the utilities. You got to eat. And of course, I treasure eating. As you can see, I treasure it, right? And so you got to eat. But beyond that, because that's really, if we're honest with ourselves, that's about 60% of what we make. If somewhere, we'll fall in those numbers somewhere. I'm almost positive of it. 50%, 70%, somewhere there. But what are we doing with that other 20 to 30%? What are we doing with that? What are we doing with this treasure? How are you spending your money? Here's just a little snapshot of the next series to come. So we'll finish out this series next week, and then after that, I'm really excited about it. We're starting a series talking about money, and it's going to be called Money Monologues, okay? I'm kind of pumped about it because it's the question of, if your money could talk, what would it say? If your money could talk, sometimes that's scary to even think about, right? If your money could define you, if it spoke on your behalf, what would it say? How scary would that be? Okay, that was just a snapshot. I'm super excited about it because it's going to be difficult and awkward, and I love awkward things. Okay, so for us to be audaciously generous, we've got to excel in giving our time, our talents, and treasure. But why? Why is that so important? And here it is. Because God will be honored, you will be honored, and it will spark inspiration in others. It'll catch people's attention. They'll go, that's weird. And like as I talked about in the first week, if you heard it, if you didn't miss the first week, the first sermon, I talked about how if you want to be the tree that changes the forest, you got to be a weird tree. You got to be a tree that's so weird, man, it gets the attention of all the rest of the trees and begins to change the forest. You got to be weird. That's that inspiring thing. And this is what it says in 2 Corinthians 9:6-10. It says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then the bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. To me, the difference between just giving and generosity is all about attitude. It's all about attitude. We give because we're giving back to God. And you like this crazy group of people, and you're like, this is kind of cool. I like this to keep continuing, so I'm going to give so they can keep paying the rent on this place and so we can keep coming and electricity stays on. I give to that because, man, I love this body. But generosity is meant for a transaction. You're looking for something. When you are overly generous, it's for a reaction in somebody. At action groups, we are overly generous. It doesn't make sense. It baffles people. That's why it catches people's attention. That's why the news showed up, because it's like, how did you do this? All these volunteers, where did they come from? I'm like, I didn't make them. We're just generous. We just do exactly what God told us to do. And not just generous in our fun, because when Houston Responds came around, we'd be like, oh man, that's awesome what you're doing. Here's some money, go for it. And they said, no, here's some money, and now here's some of our time, and here's some of our talents. And so because of that, God was honored, we are honored, and it sparked people's interest. So that's why the news showed up. They're like, how did you do it? We cracked the code. It's almost sometimes like we treat giving like it's checking off a box. Like, I'm at church today. I gave my time. Check. I finished that project at work because I'm the only one who can do it. We've all kind of been there, right? I gave my talent. Check. I gave my tithe and offering. Clearly, that's my treasure. Check. But being generous with your time, talents, treasure is a reaction to the overflow of your heart. We are generous not because, you know, we give because we got to give. Other things don't keep going. But we're generous because we care about what it is. Whatever that thing is such an injustice or something bad happened to somebody or somebody's in a situation that we just can't stand it anymore, that we love them so much that we give out of our treasure. Because at action groups, giving is normal. Like, it stays going. People don't just stop giving to the church and they give to the action group. No, that's above and beyond. That's their treasure. That's something that they take near and dear, and they put it, that thing that they lock away. You know, you got passwords and pins and people watching your money, and you got these vaults and these banks. This thing that's so precious, that's the treasure. That's the thing that we love people so much. Out of the abundance of our hearts, we're like, we're going to give some of that over because we want to see lives changed. So action groups, giving above and beyond always. When we are generous, God will be honored, you will be honored, and others will be inspired. So let's break that part just a little bit before we close. God will be honored. So the passage that we were looking at, we just read in 2 Corinthians, that passage tells us that everything we have is God's, and that he truly is the author of generosity. Grace is generosity, the ultimate generosity. Because God didn't have to send his son. He created us just like a messed up chair that wobbles. He could have just destroyed us. I mean, we probably deserve it. But he loves us. And so he sent his son graciously to us in the ultimate generosity to give us a chance, an opportunity. So when we are generous, we are bringing honor to the creator of generosity. So then you will be honored. The passage also tells us that the generosity is greatly rewarded. And it's not so that you give and you're generous so that you can finally get that cool car you've always wanted. No. I mean, that's not the way God works. It's so that you be rewarded so you get more opportunities to continue to be generous. Guys, don't get me wrong. I love a good jet ski ride, okay? I like a good cruise to an island. You know, that's a lot of fun. But I will mourn that when I get back home and back to work. I'll mourn the loss of those things. But if I generously give to somebody else to further their life that is affecting their eternity, I don't mourn the loss of that. I celebrate it. I'm thankful that what I did, my generosity, out of my treasure, I'd give up all those things to affect somebody's eternity, because those things don't die. They continue on forever. Those other things are just momentary happiness. But giving someone the opportunity at a change of their eternity because of my generosity, that's everlasting. That's an honor to be a part of, because you effectively helped, or were a part of, God changing someone else's life, the creator of the universe. You will be honored. And I can say this personally in my life, the reward part of it is that we give, we do things, and then God comes along and he blesses us with more, and so then we give more and we do things. Man, that is so far more rewarding than anything that I could buy, anything that I just have for myself. So far more rewarding. So when we do that, and you're honored, you get to have opportunities to be truly a catalyst in your family and your community for great things to happen. The last part of that was generosity that inspires. The passage also shows us how our generosity can inspire people and are intrigued by good deeds. When we are audaciously generous, it sparks people's interest. Just like I said, the news showing up, people, usually when you're audaciously generous and you go to give something to somebody, they're like, what's the catch? What's in it for you? Surely you just can't be doing this out of the goodness of your heart. And it blows them away. And we're like, no, we just love you. We want to help support you. We just love you. No end game, nothing. That's the kind of thing that makes that one tree in the forest weird. It's really weird when you show up with nothing for yourself in return, that you're just there to give. That's when you make a huge impact. Matthew 5, 14 through 16 says this: you are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Solas Deus, for God alone. The light that shines in us is meant to be shared as far as it can go. So if you want a light to go far, it's got to be burning white hot. The more white hot that flame is burning, that light is burning inside of you, the further it's going to go. So when we are generous, audaciously generous, if we want to get the attention of the other side of Houston, we got to be so weird and generous that that light shines all the way over there. But we have to be intentional about being white hot. What God has placed in your hands is meant to be generously passed along. So I'll close with this, guys. This is my challenge to you this week, and it's going to hurt, and it's supposed to, okay? It's meant to be. It's meant to hurt, okay? To be truly generous, we have to be comfortably uncomfortable about surveying our core, pushing our own desires to the back burner. So this is what I want you guys to do. I want you to find a trusted Christ follower and somebody in your life that knows how to be generous. Look for the people in your life that, it's obviously, they're very generous, they give a lot away, and then they don't brag about it, okay? The people that don't brag about it, they actually don't want the attention, those are really generous people. Find those people, right? Find a mentor, whatever. If you can't find anybody, I can connect you with somebody, I guess. You know, if you can't find a friend that's a true Christ follower, maybe there's one here, hopefully. Get a piece of paper with yourself or with that trusted Christ follower and make a list. Make a list of the areas where you spend your most time, the projects that you're using most of your talents for, and the areas where most of your money goes. Look at those things, just like the iPhone does to me. Look at those things and evaluate. Evaluate them. And think about it and say, okay, am I using most of my talents for God? Is it for God alone, or is it for me? Look at my time now. Let's look at this time that I'm spending. Am I spending it just for me, Or am I considering God? Or am I doing it for God alone? Here's the really hard one. Remember that vault, that treasure that we have. What about my money? Am I meeting my needs and then using it all on myself? Or am I being generous with what God generously gave me? Am I doing that? That thing that I have locked up, PIN numbers, two-way verification codes, and all the, that stuff that I find so dear. I'm putting my value in it, myself. Am I using that for God or just for me? Evaluate those things. Take a long, hard look at those things. And once you look at them and you realize where you lay in that, ask yourself, where do I need to turn up the heat? Do I need to give more of my talents for God? Do I need to turn up the heat there to burn white hot? My time, do I need to turn up the heat there for God? Do I need to spend more time doing things for God and asking Him what He wants me to do? What about my money? Do I need to turn up the heat there and be more generous? Evaluate what those are. Decide what those areas are. And then here is the hardest thing. Ask God. Ask Him. Say, God, can I have some opportunities to turn the heat up in these areas? Can I have some chances? Lord, can you reveal to me ways that I can serve you more in these areas? Okay, and you need to listen, because I guarantee you that if you ask Him, He's going to tell you. But if you ignore His first answer, if you don't like it, if you thought it was from the enemy, the devil, or something like that, if you ignore Him and you ask again, God's going to turn up the heat some more, okay? I'm a firm believer in that. Like, if you keep asking and you don't do it, He's just going to make you more uncomfortable and make it worse on you, okay? So do yourself a favor. Just go with it the first time, okay? Just go with it. Save yourself some heat, okay? But take the challenge. Do it. I guarantee you, you won't regret it, because it's going to change you, change the others around you, and it's going to change your relationship with God. God will be honored. You will be honored, and others will be inspired. Guys, if we are going to change the Heights, Houston, and beyond there, this is where it begins. These core values, we have to be burning white hot individually, because when we come together as a body, because we're all burning white hot with it, we get to burn white hot with it as a church. So take it. Go with it. Make a point to do it so that we can change this community for Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We're so thankful for your generosity. Thank you that you gave us this rock that's flying through the universe, Lord, that we get to be on it and live and have an abundant life and enjoy your creation. Thank you for that generosity that you continually give to us. And Lord, above that, thank you that we get to be a part of that journey. We get to be generous ourselves. We get to take what you have given us, and we get to experience just a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of your generosity and what it feels like to give to others. So Lord, I pray that we heed the challenge, that we investigate ourselves and we find those areas that we need to turn up the heat on, so that eventually every part of our life we end up solos deus, for God alone, for you alone. We do everything. So Jesus, thank you for that. Bless us as we go. Bless Village Heights, and let your will be done in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.